I am sure that there's someone somewhere saying, what's Frank Sinatra doing in church? And it's so amazing how we can take one word and you stop and think about it and totally transform what is being said. Kind of talks about the power of words. That can harm and can hurt, can bless. I'm just amazed sometimes. Nancy read, there's another psalm that I want to take a look at. There's three verses of Psalms 139. She read, and I it's the original scripture that I was going to speak from. And then Lord showed me this. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I am sitting down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You are with me when I travel. And when I rest at home, you know everything I do. First line I wrote down on my message notes today was, start bringing a Bible. We've got them back there, but as I said in our discipleship class the other night, highlight them, mark them up, write notes in them. God doesn't care. I grew up in a church that said you shouldn't let your Bible get wet, you shouldn't write in it, you shouldn't do anything. And I've come to learn after listening to a lot of people is, what good is it then? Because it's a great place for resources. What I think David is saying here is that God knows everything about us. He knows what we need. He knows what we want. He knows what's good for us. He knows what's bad for us. He knows what we need before we ever ask, yet he wants us to ask. And I think that part of that whole idea of living in submission is asking. Can God do something for us without us ever asking? I think he can. I wish I could read. I read something and I cannot remember where I saw it. I think it was just today, and that really lets you know what a long memory I have. But it was someone that had, I understood, had cancer. They were down to like 74 pounds. You may have seen this. We may have all read this thing the same place. I don't know. And went to the doctors said there was nothing that could be done for them. And so they decided to pray. Well, as Paul Harvey would say, you know the rest of the story. Perhaps he now weighs 104 pounds. Can't find any cancer anywhere. The doctors are amazed. Somebody, if not her, had to submit to God and ask for prayer. Proverbs, if you get a chance, you might want to read it this week, but it's chapter 1, verses 8 to 19. Seems to say something about submission from the standpoint of peer pressure. I got these new glasses. These things are terrible. Everything's a blur, except Bruce. Proverbs says, you're the closest. Proverbs says, my child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instructions. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. Can you imagine a chain that's not of honor around your neck? My child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. They may say, come and join us. Let us hide and kill someone. After all, it's just for fun. Let us ambush the innocent. Let's swallow them alive like the grave. Let's swallow them whole like those who go down to the pit of death. Think of the great things we'll get, and we'll fill our houses with all the stuff we take. Come, throw in your lot with us. We'll share the loot. My child, don't go along with them. Stay away, far away from their paths. They rush to commit evil deeds. They hurry to commit murder. Listen to this. If a bird sees a trap being set, it knows to stay away. But these people set an ambush for themselves, and they are trying to get themselves killed. Such is the fate of all who are greedy for money. It robs them of life. Sometimes we submit to peer pressure, and we submit to people around us because it's easy, because it seems to be the thing to do, and we need to realize that the highest authority that we have is God. He even has more authority than political leaders, more authority than anyone that we know. God knew on Friday night that 435 people could not agree on something because they were too doggone stubborn to submit one to another to do something for the best of everyone. That sickens me. It is utterly ridiculous. And you know what's going to happen? We're going to elect the same people again. Huh? I mean, when we stop and think about, why can't someone sit down and work out something? I talked to someone this week that said they had a problem with someone. And the thing that they said they were going to do was go to them. That's the way we deal with things. We learn to submit to one another. There was a professor, a guy by the name of Doriani of Covenant Theological Seminary in St. Louis, wrote an article about Scripture. And he said, we can look at Scripture one of three ways. He says, we can look at it as though we're above it. We know more than what Scripture says. We become the authority on it. He said, or he said, we can look to it as it being equal with us. We know what it knows. We know what it knows, then we're equal to it. Or he said, we can be below it, knowing I do not know what it knows. And he said, that is the best choice. That is true submission to Scripture. It's being in submission to the Word of God. The Bible says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In other words, Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. The Bible refers to Jesus as the Word. the Word is the Bible, what he's going to say to the majority of people. And if you talk to someone, and if I would ask you, has Jesus ever spoken audibly to you, the majority of us would probably say no. I have not heard his voice. But I have certainly saw things in here that he has shown me. And I told someone this morning that I got to tell you a story of what God showed me. And it's amazing when we stop and think about it. So the question becomes is, who are we submissive to? Who are we in submission to? And we're all in submission to someone, somewhere, whether we want to believe it or not. Are we in submission to His Word? Do we look at it and say, man, this is so much more knowledgeable than I am? Am I seeking out what He's trying to say to us? What areas of my life am I in submission to? Where can I dig deeper? Where can I find more out? One of the things that I had mentioned about going and seeing Karen this week when Cindy and I went, there was probably, 12 or 14 people there. In one accord, praying for Karen's healing. That was the purpose of being there. But we would have never been there had Karen not submitted to what God had said and drawn those people to her. That's an act of submission when we ask someone to pray for us. When we ask someone to help us. There was a guy in the Bible by the name of Naaman. Naaman was a guy that was a leader of the country, was a warrior, but he had leprosy. And one of his handmaidens and one of his caretakers, for lack of a better term, told him that he needed to go see a prophet, needed to go see Elisha. And so he travels miles to see Elisha. Goes up, knocks on the door, and Elisha didn't even go out himself. He sent out one of his servants. And he said to Naaman, he said, go and wash 7 times in the Jordan River, and you will be healed. And Naaman said, there are a lot cleaner places to wash than the Jordan River. And Elisha didn't even have the, pardon the expression, guts to come out and see me. He sent somebody else. I'm not going to do it. And the little girl that was with him said, you better do it. You better submit to what God had told Elisha. So guess what he does? He goes and dips, washes 7 times in the Jordan River. And when he gets out of the Jordan River, his skin is as soft and as pure as it was when he was a baby. He was obedient. He was submissive. We know the story of Daniel, refused to bow down, thrown into the lion's den. We know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that refused to bow down to the king because the higher supreme authority was their God. It was not Nebuchadnezzar. Sometimes we have to take a stand when it's a question of obeying God rather than man. And actually, Paul told us that it's better to obey God than man. He said we no longer need to be conformed to the things of this world. Romans 12, 1 to 2 says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all He has done for you Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Whoa. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And there's some principles of biblical submission that we have to take a look at. And number one, we looked at that is it comes from within us. It doesn't come from outside. But I have to be willing in my heart to say, I submit. Now, I mentioned, I did not mean to be political earlier. Because there are clowns on both sides of Congress that are as stubborn as Molly. But the point is that we have to stop and look at what does God want in our lives and what does God want for our country. Not what does my party want or the other party want. And someone said we can no more force someone to submit than we can force someone to become a Christian. I absolutely disagree with that when we can cast a ballot. We have all the authority in the world to teach submission. Every command which calls for a submission requires it. Everything that God said that we need to submit to, we need to. We can't make our children submit. We can certainly guide them. We can certainly set limits. We can certainly take things away from them. I love the commercial. I think it might be the Nationwide commercial where probably the 16-year-old boy knocks on the door and starts going through all the things that their first accident is actually it's accident forgiveness. And his mother says, I don't know what the period of time is, but it's 4 weeks without the car. There's submission. Imposed submission. But that's submission. Christ becomes the model of our leadership. How's He deal with our failure to submit to Him? He doesn't strike us dead, fortunately. He gives us a second chance. He works on us. He cares for us. He directs us. Yeah, will things come on our path? Sometimes they do. Believe it or not, that's God speaking to you. You don't necessarily need that loud voice. But He's put His Spirit in us to draw us, to guide us, to lead us. We spoke last week, we didn't speak, Jim read last week about the verse from Ephesians where it talks about women submitting to men, to their husbands. And that is scriptural as the husband submits to Christ, who is the head of the church. But someone said this week, and I thought it was a great statement. If a husband can't get his wife to submit, then he needs to get on his knees. I think that's a great thing to look at. You can't, unfortunately, beat submission into children. Unfortunately, some men try to beat submission into their wives. We see abuse all the time. We see murder. Because it's something that someone demands. Christ brought our submission through His own sacrifice and through His own submission to God and to dying on the cross. Opposition comes, and opposition will always come. Submission is contrary to society. Submission is contrary to women's lib. Submission is contrary to what probably a lot of millennials think, that we need to submit one to another. But as a Christian, we should not shrink back, we should not back off, we should not retract what we think on submission. Whether someone welcomes it or not, it's scriptural, it's biblical. It's the right way to go. We'll see a lot of forms of resistance. We see a lot of forms of resistance appearing in churches. That's a whole other message. A lot of times people who submit are labeled as enablers or as codependent on someone else. And I think that's an error. It's a distorted understanding or a distorted misunderstanding of what submission really is. I think today far fewer Christians are struggling with it than what we may have seen in the past, because I think more people, they talk about church attendance and as you know, and how it's how it fluctuates up one year, down the next, and as times become more troubled, people become more troubled, and they seek out church and they try to seek out God. True submission goes deeper than just being forgiven. True submission down deep into the heart. Submission, I think, is undermined a lot of time by sincere people, well-meaning people. Christians, a lot of times, who have stereotyped a situation and say this is the way it should be. Submission too often is defined by rules, by ways that people should do something. If you do it my way, then you're, you know, or his way. You do it my way, then you're submitting to me. And that's not what it's all about. Submission is a matter of the heart, and it's a matter of willingness. True submission is willingness, not rules. Rules lead to legalism. Legalism leads back to the 660 some laws in the Jewish tradition that you had to follow. That's legalism. Legalism's not always making somebody happy. Submission is not always making somebody happy. But it's looking for the best for them. It's looking for what they need. It's not always a guarantee that someone is going to accept you. But we still have to do it because it's the Christian thing to do. The greatest act of submission on the part of an individual is to say, "Yes, Jesus, I accept you." Someone said this week, we can submit now or be subjected by force later. Either way, we will bow the knee to Him who is over all. The difference is, Christians do it joyfully and will do so in heaven, while unbelievers only reluctantly do so in the future as they prepare to enter eternal doom. That says a lot about it. Today is the day for submission. Today is the day, and I'm not saying that people are not a Christian, and we're not Christians. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that there are things beyond being a Christian that we may need to submit to. We may need to look at. We need to commit our lives to that. There's a passage of Scripture, and I think it's so interesting when we look at this, and I'm going to share this in closing, but it's an example of submission. In Mark chapter 16, in verses 1 through 7, it says, Saturday evening when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome went out and purchased the burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way, they were asking each other, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the tomb today?" But as they arrived, they looked up and they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been already rolled aside. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in white sitting on the right side. The women were shocked, but the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look where the body was laid. Now go and tell the disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee." I love that two words there, including Peter. Of all the times that Peter denied Jesus, of all the things that he did, cutting off the soldier's ear was not in submission to the Roman soldiers by any Roman law, by any means. All up until we see the end of Mark, we see disciples that were not truly submissive to what Jesus had called them to do. But you look at verse 20. This is after Jesus was talking to them before he ascended into heaven. Verse 20 says, "And the disciples went everywhere and preached. And the Lord worked among them, confirming what they had said by many miraculous signs." That's what brings about true submission, is that they did not submit and had refused, in essence, to submit to God. But when they saw him ready for the ascension is when it finally hit them, I think. And it said they went out and did mighty works. Mighty works is going to be different for each and every one of us. Mighty works for some of us might be inviting someone to church. That might be a mighty work. Mighty work might be just sharing what Jesus did for you today. Our discipleship class, we shared last week, and one of the things that John Wesley asked the question was, how is it with your soul? What has God done to transform me from who I was to what he wants me to be? That becomes the question of submission that we have to ask ourselves. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day that you have blessed us with. Thankful, Father, of your grace. Thankful, Father, of your love. Thankful, Father, that you do teach us submission. And what submission is a willingness to accept you, a willingness to accept your word, and then a willingness as the disciples to go and do mighty works. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.